Welcome to the Step-by-Step Wedding Prep Podcast by Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley, the weekly show that makes wedding planning fun again. Here, you'll go from planning panic, that constant sense of feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, and needing to please those around you, to being in control again, feeling confident, encouraged, and calm in planning the day you've always dreamed of. From interviews with industry experts to firsthand planning tips and more, you'll learn ways to make wedding planning easy, affordable, and as stress-free as possible. Now here's your host, Felicia Zammit McMahon.
Hello, and welcome back to the show, where we teach you everything you need to know to plan your wedding like a pro. This is episode number 13, my lucky number, and I'm coming at you every Wednesday answering the most commonly asked questions couples have when it comes to planning their wedding, and bringing you expert advice from the most amazing wedding professionals in the industry. Now let's face it, planning a wedding isn't easy. There's a huge learning curve and an overwhelming amount of information to sort through, which takes a ton of time and patience to deal with. And it's no wonder so many brides feel like giving up with wedding planning before they even begin. So my goal with this podcast is to give you all the tools and education you need in one spot so you can plan your wedding easier and quicker. Why? Because I was in your shoes not that long ago, and I want to prevent you from feeling as overwhelmed and as clueless as I was. If you're a new listener today, thank you so much for being here. And definitely make sure you go through past episodes because we've covered some big topics. And be sure to subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher. You can also find us over at stepbysteppweddingprep.com. And I ask if you know anyone who's getting married to please share this with them. And if this podcast is one that's been truly helping you, I'd love for you to leave a review. So today we're going to be talking about hiring your vendors, which is so important in determining what kind of wedding planning experience you'll have. If you hire the right way, you'll have a totally amazing experience. Hire the wrong way, and your results could be entirely different. So we're going to discuss the number one thing you need to base your decision on, which has nothing to do with money and is often the things couples overlook entirely, not even giving it a second thought. So to help you learn more about this, we spoke to a woman who's worked with vendors almost her entire career as a producer and planner, not only for weddings, but for Broadway shows, feature films, and she's worked for major celebrities, politicians, and companies such as Google, Airbnb, and J.Crew. Together with her husband, Michael, who himself has worked as a carpenter for major theatrical productions, they plan weddings with a you dream it, we'll make it approach, appealing to edgy, elegant brides and couples of all budgets to create a uniquely crafted wedding, authentic to each couple. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Rachel Solomon, co-owner of Bad Boss Bride. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy to have you here today because as someone who's been a producer for as long as you've been, you know your way around contracts and vendors. And now that you're in the wedding side of producing, you have that huge wealth of knowledge and experience behind you to help couples choose the right vendors, which is so important. And I think this is going to be a great episode and you're going to have tons of advice for anyone who's listening today.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, that definitely is my goal. I think obviously being in production definitely is one of the things that drew me into the wedding industry. You know, people have asked me, you know, did you always dream about being a wedding stylist, designer, planner? And the answer is no, I never thought I would be doing this. But then once I had started to plan my own wedding, and I saw how many commonalities they were and how many translatable skills that I had and how much I enjoyed the entire process. It suddenly seemed like a really great fit and a fit that worked for myself and my husband. So I'm glad to be here and I'm glad to be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, there are a lot of similarities between normal event planning and wedding planning, especially when it comes to, hiring vendors and looking at contracts and all that. And, I was curious to know, what are some of the common mistakes that you have seen couples make when it comes to choosing their vendors?
For sure. And it really, of course, varies because every vendor and every industry is different. So obviously the questions and the conversations and the type of relationship you need to have with your planner or photographer is going to be different than the type of relationship you might need to cultivate with your cake designer. Although if you're someone who decides that the cake is going to be a focal point of your wedding and it's going to need to be really involved, then maybe that's different for you too. So there's no such thing as one size fits all in the wedding industry, in my viewpoint. So it really depends on the couple, obviously, and what's important to them. But I've been able to identify some key things that are just really good guideposts that you can follow to help you in this process. And it's a lot of it I've learned, trial and error. I've, heard, unfortunately, horror stories from other brides or brides who've hired me who already are having issues. And the best thing that I think I can take from those experiences and, ways to honor, what they've been through is to try to help help other brides not encounter the same sort of stressors or issues. So obviously, I think one of the most, this may sound a little bit biased, but I really did come to this realization long before I decided to be a wedding planner, is one of the most common mistakes, I think, is hiring your planner last. Or much later in the process than you hire other vendors.
Yeah.
And I can say that because I was one of those people that made that mistake.
Oh, gosh.
I did not hire my planner first. The first, besides the venue, the first vendor that I hired was my photographer because I, like I said, as you said, my background is in production. So video producing and photography and the visual aspects of my wedding were very important to me. So I saw a photographer I loved and I immediately jumped on it and was like, I need to hire that vendor.
Right.
And I realized later on that once I'd hired a planner, all of the resources that would have been available to me earlier on and that would have made my selection process of all my vendors so much easier and smoother if I'd had my planner sooner. So that does sound a little bit biased, but I'm speaking from personal experience that I did make that mistake. And, it was fine. We worked it out. But I wished I had access to my planner earlier to help me make some more informed decisions.
Yeah. And it's funny because that's what we talked about on last week's show as well, the importance of hiring a wedding planner and doing it earlier rather than later. So it's interesting that you experienced that planning your own wedding as well. So that just kind of brings in the point that needs to be a really early decision to make.
Absolutely. And, I know what the normal deterrents are. People think that it's going to be incredibly expensive to hire a planner, that they can do it all themselves. And I've listened to past podcasts and I know you've covered a lot of this, but, it does merit, I guess, repeating that I too believe, essentially you can have a gorgeous wedding on any budget. There are planners that run the gamut, everything. They're obviously incredibly expensive high-end planners, and then there are very affordable planners, and there are wonderful, capable planners at every price point. So I hope brides don't get deterred thinking, oh, it's too expensive. It's something I can't afford, so I'm going to forego it. Because one of my, goals, and I share this with my couples, is really to pay for myself, essentially, so that basically at the end of the day, what I've provided, the value that I provided to them in terms of either contacts or advice, or vendor recommendations, stress to time saved, that right. Really I'm at a net zero where I've essentially paid for myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And now what were some of the other common mistakes? Because you had mentioned that you had a list. so I'm curious to hear what the others were. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'll start from the top, and okay. Some of these might be sort of no-brainers, but I've seen people fall prey to them, so they bear repeating, in my opinion. Yeah. One, and it sounds super basic, but as a girl who comes from a family of lawyers, I cannot say it enough, read your contract. Yeah. And not just a cursory, you know, reading, really read your contract. Essentially, and this is not to say that, you know, you don't trust your vendors or that, you know, that they're not going to deliver on what they say. But at the end of the day, you know, you need to do your due diligence. You need to protect yourself. And you also need to just be aware of what's actually being provided, because, you know, you can have a conversation with a vendor and they can say they're going to provide XYZ, but essentially if it's not actually in writing, they don't have to provide any of that. And, you know, you could speak to a photographer, just throwing out an example, and they could say, oh yeah, you know, I bring a second shooter with me and yada, yada. And then on the day of the wedding, they show up with just one shooter and you go back to your contract and you go, oh, it doesn't say that there's a second shooter. And, you know, maybe he had every intention of bringing one, but then whoever he was going to bring backed out or fell ill or something. If it had been in your contract, perhaps you could have gotten some money refunded, or the onus would have been on that vendor to have a backup. So you need to protect yourself.
And I think it's good too, because I mean, especially if you're signing something, you need to know what you're signing. You need to know, you know, essentially kind of what you're getting into. And like you said, what's going to be provided to you, and making sure that everything that's mentioned verbally is mentioned on paper as well, so that when you're signing that contract, everything that you discuss is in there.
Absolutely. So that's my big one. Then I definitely advise everybody to really do your research. And this doesn't just mean looking at their Instagram and their website. It does mean obviously looking at reviews online, but don't just look at the positive reviews, look at the negative reviews as well. This is not to say that obviously everyone's going to have a negative review here and there. There's always going to be something that, you know, might have been out of the vendor's control, you know, or entirely, and they couldn't help it. So I'm not trying to say hold every vendor, you know, responsible for every negative review. But I think it's important to get a really good 360 view of that vendor and just be aware, because, you know, from what I've found, you know, certainly there are some people, you know, brides and grooms and couples in general who get upset about things and exaggerate. But for the most part, if somebody has kind of gone out of their way to write a review about a vendor on their not profile or wedding wire profile, there's something in there that could be a piece of valuable information to you. It may not even be negative. It might just be something about the way that person works. And like I said, this is not a one-size-fits-all industry. What may work for one couple does not work for another. And that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the vendor or the couple. It just means that it's not a good fit. And that kind of goes back, that kind of goes to my third point, which is personality. And essentially, I think the personality of the vendor is highly important. That's not to say that, you know, people have bad or good personalities. It just means that there's a spectrum, obviously, and you need to know what's right for you. I, for example, knew when I was hiring a planner, you know, because of my background, because I'm a producer, I wanted somebody who really understood that I was going to do a lot of theatrical things, that it was going to be really involved, that I was going to be, you know, essentially sharing ideas with her that maybe another planner might have been nervous about and might have thought, oh, can they execute this? Can they not execute this? Which, you know, rightly so, you know, that your planner should make sure that your expectations are properly, you know, managed, and that, you know, what you want can be executed. But I had explained to many planners that I reached out to, you know, hey, this is my background. I've worked in theater. I've produced for Broadway. So is my husband. So I would never be suggesting any of these things if I wasn't confident we could execute them. And I wound up going with a planner that, you know, seemed excited about it and, you know, wanted to do these things with me and wanted to help bring my vision to life, as opposed to some other planners that seemed more hesitant and nervous and skeptical of it, which again doesn't make them bad or me bad. It just means they weren't the right fit and I found my right fit.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned, you know, personality is so important when choosing your vendors. And it's funny that you mentioned that your photographer was the first vendor that you chose, because for me, it was the same thing. Like our photographer was the first vendor we chose. And it was really, first I saw the photos and I was drawn to that aesthetic. And then once we started talking, like our personality just clicked right away. And it wasn't until, you know, later that I looked at the budget and, you know, how much his services cost. And I find it kind of interesting that, and you know, I can't blame them because I kind of did the same thing, but I feel like couples look at the budget first or the cost of the service or product and use that as sort of the determining factor for hiring a vendor, when really, like you said, you should be looking at the personality first and making sure that you two work well together and mesh well together. Why do you think personalities is often overlooked? And why do you think budget comes first before personality?
For sure. I mean, you know, the clear cut answer obviously is that, you know, couples have to work within certain constraints. And, you know, on some level, obviously everybody would love to have whatever budget that they chose, and you know that money wasn't an issue, of course, at all. But you know, for the majority of us, that is not reality.
Right.
Now, again, a huge cornerstone of my business is that I work with people and couples of all budgets, and I really don't think that your budget needs to determine the quality of your wedding. So that's something I really believe strongly. However, I think the problem is that people look at budget first, maybe as a, you know, there's so many vendors out there and there's, yeah. I mean, it's great. There are so many options, but almost like the SATs, the way that colleges use the SATs, they need some kind of something to help them just weed through all of the options. So I think the most obvious initial variable you can use is price. Now, the issue is that, in my opinion, price on either end, an expensive or an inexpensive photographer, is not indicative of quality necessarily. There are people who assume that just because a photographer is expensive, that they're a great photographer.
Right.
And vice versa, that assume that just because a photographer is inexpensive, that they're not good. And there could be a multitude of reasons why somebody has price their package or their service at wherever it is. And again, like it so much has to do not just with their personality and how they deal with you, but how their personality also shows through in what they produce. There are some photographers that I know that are lovely and wonderful and incredibly expensive, and their photos are gorgeous, but they're not my style, or they're not a lot of my bride's style. So they wouldn't ever book them. And that's not because they're not talented. It's just their particular artistry, because they are artists, doesn't, you know, appeal to every client.
Right.
So that's why I really think, like I said, speaking to the vendor, getting them on the phone, having a talk with them, figuring out not just the nuts and bolts of what they offer, but who they are and how they work with you as a couple on the day of the wedding, the week before, leading up to the wedding, the whole process is crucial. Because, you know, whether you realize it or not, you think you're just committing yourself to your partner in this process, but you're committing yourself to a whole lot of other people too. You know, you're getting into the way that I viewed it, or the way that I tell my brides to view it, is that, you know, you're not just in a relationship with your, you know, future spouse. You're getting into relationships with all of these people for at least a year, usually, maybe a little less, but at least a year. And so you kind of have to approach it that way. Like if I were to say to you, okay, you're going to have to date this person for a year. Do you want to date this person for a year? And now obviously it's not quite as nuanced as that. But in a way, you know, you're going to have multiple conversations with them. You're going to have to meet them. You're going to have to collaborate. Is this somebody you can envision yourself doing that with? It's not just about do they create beautiful work, but what are they like to work with? Because your wedding day is one day, and yes, you want it to be beautiful and memorable and everything you hoped it will be, but it's, in my opinion, not worth a year, 9 months, 6 months, whatever your timeline is, of stress and aggravation to have a beautiful wedding if that whole year prior is just miserable. So that's why it's, in my opinion, so crucial.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think that you make a good point too, because it's not so much that you're paying somebody to provide you with something, you're investing in that person and you're investing in your day. And, you know, like you said, vendors, you're, for the most part, a majority of them, you're working with for at least a year. So you want to make sure that your meetings and your conversations and the whole process is as smooth as possible. So what are some ways, and you touched upon it a little bit by, you know, having phone calls, you know, with them, but what are some ways that a couple can determine if a vendor is a good match, you know, personality wise, and how can they make sure that they're choosing wisely?
Absolutely. So there's a number of ways, obviously, you can do this. You know, as mentioned, you should definitely do your initial research just, you know, before contacting. Obviously, make sure that you like what they do aesthetically. Make sure that the majority of what other people, you know, think about them has been positive. I definitely think it is absolutely a great idea to ask your community. There are so many bridal groups now, especially on social media. One of the first things I did when I got engaged was joined a group just for brides. Vendors actually weren't allowed to participate in this particular group. There are some groups where vendors are. It's fine to join those as well. I would say join a couple, but it's great to have at least one where it's brides or people getting married only, because you can kind of freely discuss your thoughts, your concerns, you can get general support, but you can also say, you know, hey, this is a vendor I'm thinking about working with. Has anybody worked with them? What was your experience like? And then in addition, you can feel free to ask your vendors for direct recommendations. Sorry, I'll say that again. You can feel free to ask your vendors for direct recommendations. I've been asked many times to, you know, provide references, just as if you were going on any job interview. You know, we all go on job interviews and we're looking for new jobs and they ask for references. I personally don't view it as any different in the wedding industry. It's within your right. And I think that really helps you get an idea of what the experience will be like working with that vendor from a couple's perspective. And it can be really helpful. And you can maybe even ask some questions that you wouldn't necessarily ask the vendor or maybe be comfortable asking the vendor. So definitely those things. And then lastly, I think something that people overlook a lot is, what is the vendor asking you? So it depends on your priorities, of course. Somebody may be having a wedding that's fairly straightforward. They don't need a lot, or they're not asking for a lot, and they're fine with a vendor that's a little bit more to the point and, again, just gets down to brass tacks. Maybe you like that. Maybe that's perfect for you. Then great. But if you're looking for a more curated experience, if you're looking for a more personal touch, then what they say to you and what they ask you is really reflective of what they're going to be like to work with. Whenever I speak to brides, I don't just talk about what they want for their wedding. I want to get to know them as a couple, because if I get to know them as a couple, that can better help me understand what kind of wedding will make them happy, what kind of experience they'll be most pleased with. I really want to get to know who they are, not just what their budget is and their guest count. So I'm always very curious to see what types of questions vendors ask. And that's actually why I booked my photographer. So going all the way back to the beginning, even though, like I said, I wish I booked my planner first, I'm still really happy with the photographer I booked. But one of the main reasons that I booked him was I loved the questionnaire that he sent me. It showed his personality. It showed how he wanted to get to know us as a couple. And it really actually, you know, got me excited to work with him, seeing the questions that he asked us.
And that's such a great point too. And one that I had never even thought of either, but you know, it's so important. Like is your vendor taking the time to get to know you and to get to know what you want and what your vision is and what your expectations are for the day? I think that's an excellent point. And I'm just kind of curious if you remember like what some of those questions were that were on that questionnaire.
Off the top of my head, I mean, I think some were like essentially, you know, again, how we got, you know, how we met, a little bit about our story. I don't remember them specifically. I mean, I know some of the questions that I ask. I ask my couples a whole bunch of questions, and sometimes they might think it's strange because they think, oh, this has nothing to do with wedding planning. Why do you want to know?
Yeah.
But I want to know what they do on the weekends together. I want to know what their hobbies are. I want to know what television shows they watch. Again, it gives me an idea of their personality, what they like to do. It gives me a sense of how to potentially bring elements of that into their wedding. Many of the couples that I work with, and certainly I think a lot of couples in general, really want their weddings to feel authentic to who they are as a couple. I don't know if that's a trend or if that's something that's kind of always been there. It does seem to be a trend. It feels like the weddings of the past, like when my mother got married, that was not really reflective of her. You know, everybody whose mom got married in the 80s wore big Princess Diana dresses and all this stuff that, you know, it seemed very trendy at the time, but wasn't as much or wasn't as connected to the couple as weddings are now. Things really are unique and customized now, which I think is, you know, fantastic because that's timeless. If it's about who you are and the certain things that are important to you are going to remain with you forever. So it's great to have a wedding that hopefully we'll all be able to go back and look at our wedding pictures and still love them in 20 years, as opposed to previous generations that go back and they think, oh my God, what was I wearing? it's part of that experience. So I think it's really important to find out. I have one couple, for example, getting married in December, and they're homebodies. They love to do lots of things together at home on the weekends. They're a huge game board, by their own admission, game board nerds, and they love Scrabble. And we're going to incorporate a lot of Scrabble elements into their wedding because they said that they really want to feel like they're kind of pulling back the curtain into their own private world and allowing their friends and family to kind of see what it's like to spend a day with them alone. And I thought that was a beautiful sentiment and they wanted that feeling. And without kind of getting to know them and finding out some of the specifics of what they enjoy, I wouldn't have known how to bring that personalized element into their day.
Right. Yeah. And I love what you say too, because I think it is, I mean, I don't know if it's a trend. I hope it's here to stay, but I have noticed that as well. I feel like, you know, couples really want their day to, you know, represent themselves and represent, you know, what's meaningful to them and really showcase their personality. And I think that's also what makes it really memorable for everybody, not just for the couple, but also for the guests. You know, the more personalized you can make your wedding, I feel like the more memorable it becomes. And I think you're right too. Like, you know, weddings of the past were very, I don't know, cookie cutter, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. And I think they definitely lent into what was popular at the time as opposed to what that specific couple liked.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I do want to ask, you know, because we're talking about, you know, what a couple can do ahead of time to make sure that they're choosing wisely. But there are instances where couples may hire a vendor and due to no fault of anybody, you know, they're just realizing that maybe like the vendor couple connection is just not working. You know, there's conflict or you know, they're just not getting along for whatever reason. And like you said, it's, you know, nobody's fault, you know. So what happens if a couple hires somebody and that starts to happen down the line? Like, what are some ways that a couple can work with the vendor, or a vendor could work with the couple, to kind of mitigate those issues?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, this does happen, obviously. I mean, it happens in every area of our life. You know, not everybody is always on the same page all the time. It happens, you know, with colleagues. It happens within our own families. I mean, think about it. We fight the most with the people we love most. And usually, like you said, everybody wants the same thing. There are very few vendors that I've met whose goal is to, or excuse me, there are no vendors I've met whose goal is to make you have a bad experience. Nobody wants to make you have a bad experience. Now, some obviously are more willing to go above and beyond to make it a better experience, and some people are a little more challenging to work with. But again, I really try to approach every situation that, hey, we're all on the same team. We all have the same goal here. So how can we best approach whatever problem we're having with that in mind? So the first thing I would say is, well, firstly, if you do have a planner already, enlist them and enlist them to help you. So if you have a planner involved, if the issue isn't with the planner and you're great with your planner, then enlist them to help act as a mediator of sorts. They are a really great resource because they understand both sides of the spectrum, I would say, or both sides of the issue. They will have worked with you. They'll understand your perspective. You can talk to them and be very open with them. And at the same time, they can either separately have a conversation with the vendor and then have one jointly, but they also are a vendor as well, and they understand the pain points that vendors experience. So I think they can be a really great tool in that regard as well, to act as a mediator and to help translate. I've had to do this with lots of vendors that I've worked with in the wedding industry, but also, you know, this extended to my life when I was producing. And often it came down to like technical things where I was working with a client and then they would want a cameraman to do something that he physically couldn't do. And you'd have to kind of play mediator between them to explain how we could aesthetically achieve what we wanted to achieve, but within the realm of, you know, reality and what was possible. Yeah. So, enlist your planner if you can, and if you have one. If not, I would say, as non-confrontationally as possible, have a conversation with them. You know, if you don't address it with them, it's never going to resolve. If you just sit on how you're feeling and let it fester and get irritated, it's going to also continue to affect how you talk to them. They're going to pick up on that because they're human, and they make it more bristly because you're being bristly and they don't know why you are and you don't know why they are, and you just continue the cycle. So the best thing you can do is just to be really straightforward and say, look, you know, this is why, you know, start, I always, you know, I used to give a lot of feedback. I was a theater student, and we always talked about the best way to give constructive criticism, especially with something in theater, which is so vulnerable and personal. And often you're talking to vendors where this is their art, you know, and it is very personal, and they take it very personally. And that's why some people are very sensitive. So the best way to do it is to, we called it a compliment sandwich, where start up with something positive. So this is why I hired you. This is what I love about your work. Then explain what the issue is. You know, maybe it's with your florist, and they're just the examples I sent over aren't at all in line with the kind of mood board you gave them or what you had in mind. And so you say, you know, this is why I was attracted to your business. I loved your artistry. I love the work that you've done. I've noticed in some of, you know, the things you've sent me recently haven't quite been touching on the vision that I had. This is what I think is kind of missing. Is there a way that we can kind of discuss a way to create something that better captures, you know, what I'm looking for, with your artistic guidance, of course. So kind of, you know, letting them know that you still trust them, that you believe in their work, but a way that there's a compromise of sorts. So I think that's, yeah. And a lot of couples, I think, are afraid to have that conversation. And most vendors are very willing to speak to you. And I think a lot of the problems arise from couples just never saying anything. They never say anything until it's too late, until the wedding is over and they've been angry and all of these problems could have been avoided potentially.
Right. And those are and then that's when you get the negative review because nothing was addressed
exactly
early on enough. And yeah. And I love that compliment sandwich and that example that you read or, you know, that you said was just so perfect because it didn't feel like you were insulting anybody or anybody's feelings were getting hurt. I mean, it was very transparent and to the point, but showing that you're willing to work and seeing like if there's a compromise. And, you know, it's funny what you said because I feel everybody in the wedding industry, when it comes to vendors, it's not just, oh, I do photography or I work at a florist or flower shop, or I work, you know, for a DJ company. It's not that they work at these places. This is who they are. You know, when you speak to a photographer, that's their identity. That's who they are. You know, a florist is a florist. It's their identity. And you know, you have to, like you said, you have to be very careful how you approach somebody because I feel like it's hard to separate business from the person.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, I mean, I said that and I believe it. But at the same time, don't let that make you too afraid to voice your feelings because at the end of the day, yes, they're artists and we're all passionate people, but this is a business. You did hire them to do a service for you. And again, that doesn't mean it has to be cold or sterile, but it does mean that you're the client and you should be treated like the client. I'm almost always on the other side. I'm always the person who has clients. So when I myself became the client, I didn't really know how to behave. And I noticed that some vendors that I'd hired I was calming them down and I was kind of falling back into that role that I normally have where I'm the one basically who's acting as the professional and I was treating them like the client. And that can be, you know, a sticky situation. And most people probably won't fall into that category because they won't be like me and they won't have had clients before. But you know, you don't let the fact that you're working with passionate, talented people silence your voice. Again, good vendors, and I think the majority of people in the wedding industry are good vendors, want you to be happy, and they want to hear your concerns up front. Again, like you said, there's nothing more frustrating than finding out about someone being unhappy about something after the fact when you can't do anything about it. Most people are really willing to work with you if they find out in advance. Remember, they're people too. They have their own issues, sick parents, you know, children, you know, other clients, you know, there's something that they could be doing that they're completely unaware of. And as soon as you point it out to them, the problem could, you know, evaporate under, you know, that circumstance. So just, you know, please speak up.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said too, everyone that you hire wants you to have the best day. So you have to speak up if something is not right or something, you know, is bothering you. You have to let them know because it's in their best interest. You know, they want you to be happy. They want your day to be exactly how you want it. And, you know, they need to know, you know, what they could do to help you achieve that. And everybody's on the same team. Like you said, you know, you're all working together for the same purpose. Everybody wants you to be happy. And yeah, it's so important for you. Like, you know, if something is not working out, to definitely speak up.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, advocate for yourself. You know, I will have just one little anecdote in there just because, you know, we're making the assumption that all vendors are wonderful. And like I said, the majority are. But just like with any business, you're going to encounter some vendors who are not running their business the way that most of us think they ought to be running them. It happens in every industry. You know, there's no reason why the wedding industry would be any different. So I'm not trying to say like you should automatically be suspect of anybody, but you know, let's just say that, you know, you've had the conversations with them, or you've tried to, you know, you've gone through all the steps that, you know, we've kind of gone through and chatted with them, and you've tried everything and it's, you know, it's not working. Obviously there are further measures you can take. But one of the things I recently recommended to, a bride who actually wasn't even, a client, they were just, they're a colleague who, was having a wedding, and she knew I was a wedding planner, and, she's in another state. So she couldn't, you know, we couldn't really work together. She's kind of far away. And she said, I have this contract with this, vendor that's providing XYZ services, and I have all these concerns and I'm having all these issues. And I said to her, you know, send me the contract, let me take a look. And it was very troublesome. Once I looked at the contract, there was a lot of information that was omitted that should have been in there. There were a lot of things that were unclear that should have been made clearer to her as a client. So, you know, I went through and I made some specific, you know, she then had reached out to them and said that I would like this, this, and this. And they were sort of open, but not as open as, you know, ideally they would have been. And so I went through with her. And again, this is why it's good to have a planner, and said, okay, these are the things that we can go through in the contract and ask if they will make certain revisions to it so that you are protected. So I think, don't be afraid to go in, and if there are certain things that you know will make you more comfortable, or if you've reached out to other people, which again, I think if you think you're in over your head and you're not getting the answers you need, or you don't know what is reasonable budget-wise, or what you should ask a photographer, you know, ask the community, look it up. You know, again, there are tons of resources online. And then there are ways that you can backtrack to build in protections for yourself. In this particular case, she was working with a company that I guess had a lot of different photographers under their umbrella. And she didn't know which photographer from the business was going to be photographing her wedding. And when I looked at their Instagram, I noticed that they had so many different styles and skill levels.
Wow.
And that was really troublesome, because she had no idea who she was going to get. Was she going to get this photographer who seemed really seasoned and great and had the aesthetic she wanted, or was she going to get this other person who maybe had less experience and did not have the look she was going for at all? So I suggested that she pick one that she liked and speak to the company that she'd hired and have it put in writing into the contract. It hadn't been in there before, that particular photographer would be the photographer photographing her wedding.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I know. It's like, and like you said, like going back, looking at the contract and making sure that everything that you guys speak about is in there. And a lot of vendors have that. Like they might be the head photographer, but then they might have assistants, or it could be a DJ company and they have like different DJs that might be servicing your wedding. So it's very important to know who's going to be at your wedding and have that in writing. Because like you said, everybody is different and everybody could have a different personality and a different style. And you want to make sure that you're getting the one that matches you the best.
Yes. And this was like, this was an unusual case. This is not, I'm not here to scare anybody. You know, this is not very common. It's definitely more of the exception than the rule, but obviously you never know if you're going to be the exception. So that's why it's just important to be careful and make those choices. But also to stay calm, because that was one of the things that I kept stressing to her. You know, she was freaking out. She unlocked this contract. What do I do? My wedding is soon. And I just said, look, there's always a way that we can make this better. And, you know, again, like I said, speak to the vendors. We spoke to the vendor and they were willing to make the adjustments that I had suggested. So that made her feel a lot calmer. And, you know, she could proceed with planning, you know, with a less weight on her chest.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are almost out of time. But before I get to the end of our show, I did just want to ask you if you had anything else, any last thoughts or comments that you wanted to add.
I think the biggest takeaway from the entire wedding planning process, which, you know, obviously does include everything we chatted about today, choosing vendors is a huge component of that. You're assembling your team that's going to be working with you throughout the entire process to achieve the wedding that you have in your mind. But one of the most important things to keep in mind is that you need to enjoy yourself throughout this entire process. I'm not saying that's going to be easy. I'm not saying you're not going to get stressed. I always say to people, you know, if anyone tells you that they're going to make something, you know, you're not going to be stressed out at all, that's not true, because that's just not life. Of course you're going to be stressed, and it's also normal to be stressed. I don't think anybody really understands how stressful it is planning a wedding, and I think a lot of brides feel a little bit guilty about that stress. I myself felt that way. I thought, wow, you know, people have real problems in this world. Who am I, you know, to feel stressed about planning a wedding? I'm marrying the person I love and I'm stressed. Like, be quiet.
Right.
You know, it felt really entitled to be stressed about that. And then again, when I joined one of these groups where I could relate to other people in my situation, it really normalized it. And I think giving yourself permission to know that that's okay is a huge weight off your shoulders, knowing it's okay to get overwhelmed, but and don't beat yourself up about it. Be kind to yourself, but also know that, you know, everything is going to pass. Trust me, it really will work out. At the end of the day, you're marrying the person that you love. That is the most important thing. You have to keep that in your, you know, in your mind's eye, your main focus. Lots of little things are going to pop up that maybe don't go your way, or you really wanted this and that didn't work out, or what have you. But it's about the two of you. It's about trying to make this process as enjoyable as possible, and also to not make the entire, you know, whatever length of time, year, 6 months, you know, 9 months, 2 weeks, whatever, however long you take to plan your wedding. Uh-huh. Don't make it all about planning. Make sure you're making time for the two of you as a couple, so that on the day you get married, you can enjoy each other and be in the moment and let all that fade away. Because I think the last thing you would want is the day of your wedding to be fuming at your fiance that you love, but you had an argument the night before over, you know, the seating chart. It's not worth it. And very, very rarely does that happen. Most people, they completely let it go. But I'm a huge proponent of having the day be wonderful, but really I'm very process oriented, and the whole process should be as enjoyable as possible too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, just keeping that focus on the big picture of the day really helps to kind of ease that stress a little bit. And, you know, just realize that any kind of difficulties that come up, you know, like you said, at the end of the day, you're still marrying your best friend, and, you know, everything will work out.
Every problem has a solution.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much. I mean, all your insight has been so wonderful. And there's so many great tidbits, you know, in our conversation for couples to really listen to and learn from. So I want to thank you so much for that. But before I let you go, I always do this with my guests, and I always ask them their fun five questions, sort of like a lightning round part of the show. So if you're ready, I'll start asking you some questions.
Sure. Go ahead. Fire away.
So what was the last nice thing you did for someone outside of the weddings or outside of the wedding industry?
Sure. And this is not bragging at all. And this is only, not only, but this is something obviously that is unique to the situation that we're all going through right now with the pandemic that's happening. But I decided to send some food over to my local hospital, to some of the nurses over there, just to let them know that they were feeling, you know, that they were supported. Regardless of the fact that there are so many brides that I work with that are nurses and doctors and work in the medical field, so that's always in my back of my mind anyway. But I live right down the road from a hospital, and I know how hard they're working. So wanted to show my support.
Oh, that's so nice. It's so sweet. I know, it's so amazing how like everyone's coming together and rallying around so many people. It's just so heartwarming. So how did you get into planning weddings? Like, I know you kind of touched on this a little bit before, how you were starting out in the theater industry and doing events. And I know you've worked with some pretty famous folks. So how did you get into going from that into wedding planning?
Yeah, so it really started with my own wedding. I started the planning process just like anybody else, having no idea what I was doing. And, you know, I thought, you know, well, I've planned large events before. I have a leg up on this, right? You know, and yeah. I thought, wow, it's going to be such a breeze for me because unlike other people who have never planned, you know, an event for more than, I don't know, 20 people maybe is the biggest event most people have planned for, like a large birthday party or anniversary party. I'm like, I've planned huge events. But of course that was with tons of support and, you know, an organization behind me and resources and all these things and a knowledge of whatever industry I happen to be working in. So I, you know, was humbled initially by realizing how I needed to, you know, educate myself to this specific industry. And then as I did so, I realized that I really enjoyed it. I loved the artistic side of wedding planning. I loved the logistics of it as well. Ironically, I'm very type A. I like a spreadsheet. You know, I like keeping things organized. And it just really complemented so many things that I enjoyed, so many skills that I had. And I also saw that it was really going to allow me to kind of build the life that I wanted with my husband. And that it was also a way for us to work together, which I really loved. We really enjoyed doing things together, not just recreationally, but work-wise. We've worked on a lot of projects together because he is a co-founder of the business with me. He is a technical and theatrical background. And I thought, well, wouldn't this just be, you know, a fantastic way for us to get to work together. So.
And it's so great that you get to work with your husband too. I think that's awesome.
Most of the time it is, yes.
Yeah, I know. There's always that caveat. Yeah, most of the time.
Oh yeah, we definitely occasionally have different like it was even in our vows. We wrote to our officiant letters, the love letters to each other that he then incorporated into our ceremony, and he said that we were both very artistic but had very different temperaments, and that is very true. So he and I, you know, I'm constantly polishing my negotiating skills because often we have different opinions on how something should be executed, but it's good, we keep each other in check, and he always tells me when things aren't centered properly.
Yeah. Well, that's always good to have. What is something people may not know about you?
I was thinking, I'm a pretty open book, you know, for better or for worse. I mean, people don't know everything, obviously, but I'll put it this way. This is something people don't know about me, but you get to know it pretty quickly. If you ask me something about myself, I pretty much don't care what it is or how personal it is. I will probably tell you. I'm a very open book. I have very few things that I'm unwilling to share if the person truly seems like they want to know. So I'm definitely an extrovert.
What is what's one of your favorite hobbies or pastimes?
So a lot of them are related to the work that I do, but outside of the work, and ironically, it's been creeping in a little bit. I like to keep myself busy. I like to, my mind is kind of always moving. It's sort of restless. So I decided to start to pick up some hobbies that would kind of calm me down and that had like repetitive motions, since that's known to like really mellow people out. So I taught myself via YouTube how to knit and crochet.
Oh, nice.
My grandmother would be really proud. She was desperately trying to teach me to crochet like all throughout my childhood, and I just couldn't get it. And then of course YouTube is what actually eventually taught me how to knit and crochet. And it's funny how you connect over things. I just started working with a new bride who crochets and makes these gorgeous like dream catchers. And we spent about, like I said, a half an hour just talking about those and maybe having her make some for the wedding. So it's funny how everything kind of blends all together, you know, everything is connected. So it was fun that seemingly completely separate hobby of mine, you know, tied into all this.
Oh, that's awesome. Gosh, what would we do without YouTube? I don't know what we did before
it's
that.
It's really helpful. I could not learn how to do it from books because I needed to really see how it was done. And I could, you know, stop and rewind and stop and rewind and look at things a million times. So I really, it was very useful. I don't think I could have learned before YouTube.
No.
Not learned in general, but I couldn't have learned how to crochet before YouTube.
Yeah, I've tried it myself too, and it's a little complicated. So yeah, I think watching a video might be a little bit more helpful for me too. And what is our last question is, what is the best piece of advice you have for any engaged couple?
Well, I think I sort of touched on it earlier, but you know, I'll just, you know, reiterate, it's to really just enjoy yourself, stay true to yourself. I know it's way easier said than done, but really don't sweat the small things. I guarantee you, you're going to look back and whatever tiny pieces of minutia you were really stressing about, you're not going to remember in a year. There are so many things at the wedding that are going to be going on. There are so many things that, you know, you are planning for that you think you'll notice or that guests will notice that, you know, there's a good chance that they may not. So focus on the big picture because, you know, how you feel on the day and how your guests feel on the day is really what is the most important thing. And details are obviously important, but they're not more important than your happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh, such good advice. I know there's a lot of, there's so many details that kind of you get wrapped up in the process. And then afterwards it's sort of like, why was I so worried about that? You know?
Oh yeah. I had a huge long list of so many things I was going to do. And as I got closer and closer to my own wedding, I was just crossing things off. I said, don't need that. Don't need that. Don't need that. I was like, I have enough going on. There's already a million things happening. You know, I was just sort of slashing things off this list that were just not necessary.
Well, we are all out of time for today, but where can people find you? Where can they get in touch with you? I'll make sure to put that in our show notes for people.
Sure. The best way is just to go to my website, badbossbride.com. From there, you can email me. My phone number's on there. All my social media handles are on there. So that's just a great general hub where you can find anything you want to know about me or my business.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel. I really appreciate your time today and your amazing advice. And I'm so glad to have you on the show. And thank you once again.
Of course. Thank you so much. I hope I was helpful. And I really enjoyed our conversation.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. If you've enjoyed this show or know someone who could really benefit hearing it, please share this with them and subscribe to the show and leave a comment. If you have a topic or question you'd like covered on the show, definitely send it our way. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at SBS Wedding Prep. And if you're a Hudson Valley bride or groom, you could join us over at Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley at weddingconnectionshv.com. We'll be back next week with even more amazing wedding planning tips and advice. So until then, happy planning.